You're listening to episode 342 of the Building Psychological Strength podcast. I'm your host, Dr. April Seifert. On this podcast, we uncover the information, tools, and techniques to turn our mind into our most valuable asset. Hey, friends, and welcome back to this episode of the Building Psych Strength podcast. My name is Dr. April, and I'm your host. I'm excited about today, and I'm so thrilled that you joined me because today is like a special gift to the high achievers out there. This episode is really focused on performance as a topic. You know, performance as a topic can come up in a lot of ways in our lives, and so I want to set this topic up with just a couple of comments. Today, specifically, we're speaking with a guest who focuses on athletes. And on the surface, that may seem to some of you like, okay, well, I don't know if that necessarily applies to me. I don't know if that has anything to do with me in my life. Here's the amazing thing. When we take the topic of today's podcast episode up a level, what we're really talking about is how do we show up and perform in our lives regardless of the context? So this episode goes out to all of you who are running households and you need to show up every day and perform. It also goes out to all of you who have jobs where you need to show up every day and you need to perform. It goes out to all of you who have important relationships where, you know, people depend on you. When you need to show up and perform in those relationships, this episode will help you do that. Period. This episode is focused on how do we support ourselves in showing up in the way that we want to so that we can ultimately, quote unquote, win. Which we're, man, do we have a good discussion about what that actually means so that we can win and ultimately get to the goal that we want to get to. I'm so happy that you're here today. This episode is such a good one for anybody who is a person of high responsibility, a person of high integrity, who wants to show up as their best self on a day-to-day basis. Let me tell you a little bit about today's guest. Today, we are talking to Lauren Ammond. She is a certified professional coach from the Institute of Professional Excellence in Coaching. She launched her own practice, and she dedicated her practice to leadership development and individual coaching, specifically in the athletic space. During the 2020 Olympics, she really found her calling, and that's why she now specializes with working with current and former athletes really at any spectrum. So these are high school athletes, collegiate athletes, and beyond. She wants to show people that they deserve an outlet to be heard, seen, and supported mentally and emotionally in the same way that they're supported physically in their work. So you're really going to love this episode. If, again, you're a person who wants to show up, who wants to perform, who wants to, quote, win, which might mean something differently to each person and might mean something differently to you depending on the day and the circumstances, it's just an incredible episode. I do not want you to miss the end when Lauren gives us a free resource. The resource she gives is such an important one. This is about setting intentions each day, and it's a resource that helps you do that. It helps you figure out what your performance needs to look like that day and how to go after and get it. So don't miss the end of this episode where she gives you a free resource. All right, you guys, I'm so excited for you to hear this interview with Lauren Ammond. Let's roll that tape. Lauren, I'm so excited to have you on the show. I'm so excited about your background. It's so interesting, and it is something that maps over onto areas of life that can be really difficult for us on a day-to-day basis. So thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
So your background is in athletics. You are an athlete by background, which is an interesting, this is an interesting conversation because I've found that, you know, in my history doing endurance events, marathons, and things like that, there is incredible insight to learn from what it means to be an athlete and show up and perform and practice and all the things that go along with it, and what it means to show up in life and perform. So give us a little dive into just the space that you work in, and maybe some of that connection point to how this maps over onto just general life.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, this has been my background. This has been my life for almost 40 years now. I was a swimmer for 17 and then transitioned. And that's exactly what I found is this concept. And it's funny that we're talking about this because as the audience likely knows, there's been some news around the mental health conditions or challenges that athletes are facing. And what's crazy to think is that it's not new, that there's always been this background. And, you know, athletes, regardless of what level you are, whether you're a really high performing high school, college, or even professional athlete, there's that external expectation of being always on. Right? Performance is at the very least 100%. And as an individual in that space, you know, reaching even 125, 150, like giving literally everything you possibly can to whatever sport you do. And then again, in the outside world of off the field, needing to give 100% too. And so these skills that athletes learn are really effective, like resilience in terms of getting knocked down. And that could be losing a game, getting injured, whatever adversity they face, and getting back up. And the concept of being able to take some harsh criticism, whether that be from your coach or your teammates. And in this day and age, which thankfully wasn't around when I was an athlete, social media, and being able to kind of create a tough skin or develop a tough skin in order to keep moving forward. And then being able to translate that into real life. And I was actually having a conversation, believe it or not, with an Olympic gold medalist. And it was one of the greatest days of my life.
That's awesome.
And he had this really insightful comment that athletes can be really overdeveloped in those kinds of areas and somewhat underdeveloped in other areas, that when they come into quote unquote, the other areas of life or quote unquote, real life outside of the athletic arena, struggling to find some semblance, some calm, some peace in terms of, okay, maybe my life has changed and the hecticness around it has changed. And I kind of don't necessarily know how to use those skills in this realm, but then they find ways to kind of go back to the athletic realm and apply it and see where they get. You know, it's this really phenomenal dynamic. And it's super interesting to watch, having been on both sides of the equation and now working with athletes.
Yeah, I love that. You know, you mentioned this idea that, hey, we have to show up and 100% is sort of the bare minimum expectation. Like, what more can you give? Can you hit 150%? I feel like that's a lot of how people feel these days, whether you would consider yourself an athlete or not. Many times when you are in, say, a job that is a very high responsibility, or you're a parent, like the level of expectation in both of those spaces, dare I say you're doing them both even, the level of expectation is so high. And we internalize that. Not only are other people, you know, making comments and making it known that that perfection is, you know, what's expected here, we internalize those expectations and then, you know, push ourselves even harder. And so I just want to acknowledge that if you feel like this in your life, it's a real thing. Like, this is a real thing that people struggle with around just expectations and trying to be so perfect all the time.
Yeah. And in saying that, brought up actually a conversation I was having with a dear friend of mine, and she is also an entrepreneur. And it's that concept of, you know, again, whether you're an entrepreneur, you're a high-level corporate executive, you're a parent of a doesn't matter any size of family, mm-hmm. And you've got those high expectations or you feel those high expectations, it can get into that cycle of feeling like you're doing so much, but at the same time, not enough.
Yes.
And that constant battle of, oh, I'm giving everything, I'm giving everything, I'm giving everything, but then you turn around and you think, geez, oh, I should have been doing this, or oh, God, had I just gotten to the grocery store today, or, you know, I'd be able to make this phenomenal meal for the family tomorrow, or, oh, had I just gotten to that PowerPoint today, then I'd be able to work on that next project the next day. And oftentimes we don't see how much we've been able to accomplish.
Yes. Yes.
And sometimes it literally takes a moment. And something that I started doing for myself, and it sounds really silly, but it's been really helpful, is I will take a pause and I will physically turn around to look behind me to simulate, this is how far I've come.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Here's what I got done today.
Because if we don't, I mean, think about what we're actually doing to ourselves, right? We are, my business partner in Peak Mind has this beautiful saying. She's like, you are a human being that is constrained by your biology and psychology. This means 100% of people who have bodies and minds, which is all of us, right? When we tax ourselves, when we do a lot, we get tired, whether that is physically, emotionally, mentally, we get tired. And that feeling of being tired is a signal that we've done a lot. However, if we then in turn turn around and tell ourselves, you're not doing enough, you're essentially gaslighting your own experience. You're saying, I know you feel tired. I know you feel like you've done so much. You haven't actually. Look at all of this that you haven't done. And that's so damaging to ourselves because it takes the experience that our rational mind is like, this was a lot, right? Like, I'm tired, right? And we're saying, no, you're not. Actually, that isn't what happened. And that's so damaging. You actually talk about a concept that's very similar to that. Tell me what you mean by like the audio and the visual not matching with athletes, because I think that really gets to the heart of a lot of this too.
Yeah. And it goes back to, again, a lot of the things that we're seeing in modern sports. And this even started way back in, quote unquote, way back in 2012 when Michael Phelps had, you know, a lot of his challenges and everything. Yeah. Like, well, you're the most prolific Olympian in the world. How could you even possibly be anything other than on top of your game at every single moment? And it's that concept of what we see as admirers of these athletes, right? You know, I think we love athletes because we see this feat of physical strength and either we feel a little bit in and of ourselves or we want to, right? And we get inspired by it. And so we create these images in our mind that they're these superhuman, almost untouchable beings, and they have everything together. But if you peel back the layers, particularly among athletes, is that the visual of what we see on the outside doesn't match the audio of what's going on inside their own minds. And, you know, and then for them specifically, not only having lived that myself, though, not at the Olympic level, but at the Division I collegiate level, and then working with other athletes, it's this concept of going back to the high responsibility of, I feel at every moment I have to be on top of my game for fear that if I show what's going on internally or let anyone listen to the audio, I've then reduced my competitive advantage and now someone could quote unquote take advantage of that. You know, I'm now, you know, it's kind of the concept of never let them see you cry.
Yeah. Well, and you see that too, like it maps over so beautifully onto people in their careers, in their family lives, where we try to keep up this facade that things are going okay. Like, how are you doing? Oh, we're doing great. And really you feel like you're falling apart inside. And ultimately what that does, we know, again, just human beings with bodies and minds, we need support. One of the most psychologically protective things you can do for yourself is have true, authentic, safe relationships with people who can support you. They can't do that if they don't know you're not okay. So when we have this perfect facade that no one can see through, they don't know how to support you. So we can't even have that psychologically protective factor working for us, even if those people are available to us. How do they support you if they don't know? I can totally see where that would be so difficult and damaging for an athlete. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it transfers over into the, you know, the high powered corporate mom who just found out her son was diagnosed with ADHD. And now there's a level of complexity behind the scenes in the family and the stigma that comes with those four letters. And, you know, she's working so hard not to show cracks because she is a woman in the corporate world trying to keep up, quote unquote, in terms of, you know, her output, her maturity, her everything, right?
Yeah.
And behind her, you know, she's sitting in a meeting and it's just going through her mind of, you know, she's starting to make sense of all the episodes her son had. And now, you know, it's starting to weigh on her because, you know, now she feels guilty because it was her fault. And anybody who may be listening, reading in between the lines, I'm talking about my own life, you know, trying to really kind of figure out how to make this work within her family, but holding it all together and nope, we're all good here. You know, I've got everything I need. I'm keeping up with everybody else. Nothing's going on behind the scenes.
And what you're hitting on is something that is so critical. We've been talking about this increasingly. You know, when we look at the corporate landscape right now, it is immensely volatile right now. Employees are leaving, they're quitting, they're changing jobs. Like there's all this volatility and difficulty, lack of engagement, satisfaction with jobs has really taken a hit. And part of that, I firmly believe, is due to exactly what you just said. So if you ever think back to being in a situation where you've received some really difficult news in your personal life, or maybe you're going through a difficult transition, you're going through a divorce, or someone passed away, or you or someone else got sick, or financial something, or whatever it is, how well can you show up at work? It's so hard because part of you, and I'm a cognitive psychologist by training, it's mental load. You're thinking through and problem solving a real issue in your life. You don't have as much capacity for your job unless you have a good set of skills that almost buoys you and helps you through those times. You're really going to experience difficulty. And on the flip side too, when work gets extremely stressful, when things get really heavy there, you can't be the type of person in your personal life that you want to be. We don't operate in silos. We don't operate in these like little compartments. We drag all of our baggage behind us everywhere that we go. And that you just said it so beautifully. And that's exactly, I think, what we're seeing in the workforce right now.
Yeah. And I think whatever anyone's opinion of the pandemic, it showed the cracks in the system.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that finally employees felt empowered enough to say, not today.
Yeah.
You know, there's an opportunity for me to focus a little bit more on myself, you know, maybe versus what's going on in the workforce. But at the same time, it was this very weird and very real of, you know, I want to be able to take care of myself, but I certainly don't want to do anything to jeopardize my position, because if I lose my job right now, what's that going to mean? Could
right.
that add a little bit more? And it was kind of an endless cycle of what you're talking about, of like picking up the baggage, letting it go, picking up the baggage,
yes.
carrying it with you and letting it go. It was that constant, like, I can't today, or I'm not today, or,
yeah.
you know, a little bit more of a window to be able to do that because they didn't have to go into an office.
And it maps over onto something else you talk about around like the humanity of an athlete. Like, bottom line, they're a human being. Talk about what that means, like practically, like what does that mean in terms of that experience of keeping up that facade and you know, dragging all that baggage behind you?
Yeah, well, you said it beautifully before too, in terms of, you know, this concept of, I'm so passionate about it, sometimes I lose words for it. You know, athletes are humans too. And before of, you know, you can't get help if you're not willing to show others that you need or want it.
Yep.
And sometimes that can be one of the biggest barriers for athletes. Again, that concept of never let them see you cry. And if I create a crack in my own system, what is that going to lead me to?
Yeah.
Who's going to see that I'm at a quote unquote mental disadvantage right now? How might they use that against me? And that's what, you know, working with athletes to remind them of their humanity in terms of, yes, you have some physical superpowers that very few humans on this planet have, but you're just as vulnerable and susceptible to the mental challenges that come with those talents.
Yeah.
And just reminding them that it is okay. As Michael Phelps says, it's okay not to be okay.
Yeah.
And just creating space of acknowledging and validating what you're going through is normal. And that, yes, you are tough, but that doesn't mean you push everything down and don't face it. And it kind of goes back to what I was talking about before of kind of an overdevelopment of resilience. When you think about that physically of, again, physically getting knocked down and being able to get back up and move on, right? You'll do some rehab, you know, make sure that you're where you need to be in order to get back on the field and avoid injury. But oftentimes athletes don't equate that same thing to the mental side of the game. It's,
yeah,
I'm feeling down. I got to get over it. I got to move. I have to get back up so I can move on versus, wait a minute. I go through rehab for a physical injury.
Yes.
Why am I not taking time to go through rehab from a mental setback?
That is so powerful. That's so powerful. And I love that you talked about, you know, athletes acknowledging their humanity. I'm going to map this back over onto just general life again. I've actually looked up the statistics on this. Percentage of people who regularly, so human beings have a set of needs, right? Mm-hmm. We're a biological, you know, animal organism, right? What are the things we need to do to care and feed a biological animal, right? They need to eat. Do you know what percentage of people skip lunch on a regular basis? 62% of like 9-to-5 desk workers skip lunch on a regular basis. What percentage of people actually take a break during the day? It's very low. Like, what percentage of people are drinking enough water, like doing the really basic things that are care and feeding of our biological body, let alone the things that we know are like psychologically protective. Again, like social support, leisure time, having time to engage in hobbies or things that are not work related, all of those in our traditional lives sort of were stripped away. And I think that's the other pushback we're seeing right now as the pandemic is changing again. I don't even want to say coming to an end because, like, man, we've been tricked in that respect so many times, but whatever's happening now, you know, we're seeing all of this volatility. And I think a lot of it is the acknowledgement of that lifestyle was not sustainable and okay. And we can't do that anymore. And we won't go back. And to that end, I would love to hear a little bit about what you say or do with these athletes that you work with. Because in a lot of cases, we were talking about this before we hopped on to record. In a lot of cases, people, the stresses that they have in their life, the responsibilities, they're not ones that they can just permanently set down. I mean, they're like kids and relationships and a job that you need to pay bills and stuff like that. So the way that we become stronger can help us in that. But I would love to hear what you do with these athletes, because I think we can learn a lot about how to apply that in our lives.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things, and I always use this phrase lightly with athletes, and it was a phrase that was said to me after I was done being an athlete. And I didn't know it was a quote unquote option, because I just didn't see it. It was like 150% is what I give every day. 100 is the bare minimum, right? You can give a B plus today, or a C might be fine today too. And
yeah,
when I say I use that lightly with athletes, you know, we do a lot of work together to get to that point, right? Because I saying that to an athlete could be damaging, right? Of like, well, how, like, I give everything I could possibly give. How dare you say that I want to use a B plus? Because fun fact, that was my reaction when my first bosses said to me, and I looked at her and I was like, I'm sorry, what did you just say to me? Mm. And I had a very visceral reaction of, how is that even possible? How could anyone dare ever say that to me? And then I started thinking about it. And it was kind of the first wake up moment of, it's really impossible for me to go at 100% at every single thing I do every single day. And, you know, working with them too, again, for athletes, what is the biggest focal point? Winning, right?
Yeah.
Winning a gold medal, winning first place, winning the trophy, whatever the case may be. And actually what I work with them on, again, after a fair amount of discussion and education, is that you have the opportunity to define winning in your own way.
Wow. And
tying those two concepts together, like maybe today you're winning is the B plus.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it comes down to, what is your end goal that day? And, you know, sometimes this is something I think about a lot. Like, we talk about life design a lot on the show and in the work that we do in Peak Mind. And it really points to that process. Like, ultimately, what are we trying to get to? Like, what's the end goal or the end state that we're trying to get to? And sometimes that might mean, I need a sense of ease today. Like, that's my goal. What do I have to do to get there? And it might mean I cancel a couple of things, a social engagement, or, you know, I phone in a meeting. Like, I can't be 100% there. You know, like, ease is a perfectly fine outcome to be looking for at times. And, you know, the pushback we get is like, oh, well, then won't that make people lazy? Won't they? Whatever. Those are not the people who reach out to us. Those are not the people who are in this community. People are working hard. They're, you know, and like, they're there to make a contribution. But what we have to be reminded of is that, to your point, it's okay for us to not be executing and performing all the time. It's okay to take a break.
And I use the analogy of, you know, thinking in a manufacturing plant, right? These machines, you know, they do all these statistics and data to see, you know, how efficiently the machine is moving and da, 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 da. Well, a machine that's built for 100% production and efficiency, right? Over time, that wears down and its efficiency is reduced because it's operating at 100% every single day.
And that's a machine with no biological needs. Yes.
Yes. And so, you know, creating the sense that even something that's created to work at 100% every single day doesn't. And just equating these things with the athletes too, to say, you know, fun fact, and I'm, you know, sometimes I'll be this kind of sarcastic with the athletes because we kind of build that rapport and can kind of have that little fun challenge back and forth with one another of, recovery days are built into your training plan.
Yeah.
They are a must in a training plan.
Yep.
your body needs to take a step back and operate at 80% or 75, whatever the case may be. Same with your mind.
Yeah.
And making that connection with them of it is okay.
Yeah. I love that you said that. I had a good friend who competed in Ironman often. She did a number of Ironman endurance events. And it's for those who aren't familiar, 2.5 miles of a swim. I believe the bike is 112 miles mm-hmm. and then a marathon afterwards. So it's a day. It's a day of work. But the way she described Ironman is that your goal, unless you're like at the elite professional level, mm-hmm. but largely your goal is to show up and operate at 70% for a really long time. And it's because you have to go for a really long time. 100%, you will not finish. And I say that because it's another one of those beautiful lessons we can learn from this space. If you're in that season of life where it's a marathon, not a sprint, this is going to be a while, consider going at 70%. You know, the beginning of the marathon. So the endurance events that I used to do were marathons. At the beginning mm-hmm. of the marathon, your biggest goal is to slow yourself down in those first like 8 miles or so, mm-hmm. because you're fresh and you're excited and everyone's cheering and you're running way too fast and you're going to burn out. Mm-hmm. So your goal, like I would consider, you know, to that person who's kind of nodding along in their car right now, listening to us, where are you going over capacity where you just simply are not going to be able to finish in the way that you want to because you just burned yourself out in the first 8 miles? There's such good lessons here. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, with everything that you have learned and all the athletes that you've worked with, what does it mean to you to be psychologically strong?
I love this question. Consistently explore your thoughts and emotions, but don't get stuck there.
I love that. I love that. Talk a little bit more about what you mean by that. That's so good.
Yeah. So the concept, and I'll equate it back to athletics, right? So when an athlete has a really terrible performance, they'll replay it over and over and over and over in their mind of, I could have done this. I should have done that. Had I only breathed here, or had I only kicked here, whatever the case may be, it'll stay and it'll be stuck. And you're trying to make meaning of it. And you can get sucked up into that or sucked down, whichever way you want to look at it. But the same is true, which, let me finish that thought, which can then affect performance moving forward, right? Your only thought is, oh God, if I get in that situation again, what's going to happen? But the same is true on the opposite end, that if you have a really phenomenal performance, you can get stuck there too. Because you think, oh, well, I have to do exactly what I did last time in order for it to be the same end result. And again, when you take a step back from that, logically, you're like, wait a minute, how is that even possible? But you can get stuck in that rhythm of, well, I ate this right before I ran my marathon, and it was exactly 1 hour and 14 minutes before it happened, and I had the best time last time, so I'm going to eat the same thing, exact same time. And then let's say everything you did after that, you know, it starts to flex in a way, right? You know, you, not to be too graphic, but before you run a marathon, you want to make sure that everything is out, right? And maybe it didn't come out at the same time it did last time. And now you're thinking to yourself, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? Because that didn't happen the same way it happened last time. Am I not going to be able to run the same time? And so it's constantly explore, but don't get stuck. Take the lessons and move on.
That's so good. That is so good. I would love for you to just give some just quick tips. Like, let's say there is, again, that person who's nodding along in their car, right? Like, okay, I'm that person who shows up and tries to give 150% every day. I'm that person who is at risk of burning out. How do they get started? Like, what tips do you have for them to help ease off a little bit or become stronger or more resilient?
First and foremost, acknowledge and validate where you are.
Yeah.
You know, oftentimes when these really overwhelming thoughts get into our head, particularly high performers who are in high responsibility, high productive jobs of, well, I shouldn't be feeling like this. I don't have time for this. Like this isn't normal. This is not me. What you're thinking and feeling right now is perfectly normal and perfectly normal for you specifically. Mm. So just take a moment to acknowledge what you're going through and validate something as simple as saying, this is perfectly normal for me right now. And those simple words just give you a moment to stop the swirl, right? You know, we can misery stack our own thoughts. That if, you know, again, as high productive, high performing people, a negative thought will settle in, you'll stack another one on top of that, and then you'll stack another one on top of that. And before you know it, you're so far down this mental rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. You don't know how to get yourself out. Just take a pause. Simply say to yourself, what I'm feeling right now is perfectly normal.
That's so powerful and helpful. It's a simple thing, but I would urge you, if you're listening to this, do it the next time and just test it out, right? You have nothing to lose. It is a simple practice. It takes 2 seconds. Try it.
Yeah. It's super powerful. And you said something before is another tip is a phrase to remind yourself. Remember, you're really good at telling stories. And that goes back to something you were saying before of when we were talking about taking a pause and looking behind us and seeing how much we've accomplished and then saying to yourself, well, I should have done this or, you know, you haven't really done that much and da, da, da. We as humans are really good at telling ourselves stories. And oftentimes I'd say 95% of the time, that is what they are.
Yeah.
Stories.
That's so good.
And then I have a third tip because I love threes. Get in the habit of defining what winning means for you. And this is something I talk about with every day with athletes is every day you have the opportunity to wake up and say, today, this is how I win. And you can fill in the blanks, right? And especially if you're an athlete and you've got a student athlete, you've got school, maybe you have an exam today, you have a big practice coming up. Well, maybe your definition of winning is mastering that exam. And then you can use practice as kind of the physical outlet to get out all the stress, right? That you built up over that time. That is your maybe 80-85% practice because you gave so much of yourself to that exam. And we actually run through what I call the gold, silver, and bronze method in terms of how you define winning. And it's super powerful. Gold would be, If the stars aligned and you could have everything you wanted today, what would that be? Right. And then get them to say what that means. Silver is what's 75, maybe 90% of your ideal state. What are you willing to embrace if you can't reach 100%? And then bronze is actually kind of my favorite. I'll let that secret out of the bag is what can I learn from what I experienced today? That if nothing, you know, if you get in your quicksand and nothing's going the way you want it, what do you want to take away from today? What's the lesson that you want? And it seems counterintuitive to do that with athletes, but because we often get so focused on one specific outcome, it actually alleviates the pressure from just that one thing or that one gold medal, right? And it allows them the opportunity to focus more on the experience and the process versus what they get as a result.
Those are such good tips. And they're all very simple. I mean, if you spent 10 minutes, if you set a timer on your phone today and you spent 10 minutes just writing down bullet points or whatever your process, whatever feels good for you, to help you identify what does winning look like in this chapter of life that you're in right now, whatever that happens to be, that clarity, it's so valuable for people to have. Those are such good tips. That's so good.
Thanks. Yeah. They, you know, again, it seems counterintuitive in the athletic space, but it works.
That's amazing. Lauren, I have so enjoyed this conversation. It's so helpful to think about, I mean, performance as just a broad topic and something that impacts all of us on a day-to-day basis. Where can people find you, learn more about you, see your work?
Yeah. So first and foremost, my website is laurenammon.com. And I actually have a free resource, and it's a one pager of the gold, silver, and bronze winning formula. And you can fill out, write it out, or use it as a prompt to say, hey, today here's my gold, today here's my silver, today here's my bronze.
Oh my gosh, go get that. That is like, I mean, people talk about having a morning routine, whatever, and setting intentions for the day. Talk about a practice that would help you reorient, because you get blown off course, right?
Right.
The day happens, life happens, crazy happens, all the things. But talk about something for you to come back to and reorient you as to, okay, what was my intention today? Go get that resource. Sorry, did I cut you off? What was the URL for that?
So it's on my website. It'll be a pop-up right on laurenammon.com.
Amazing. Lauren, this is so helpful. I so appreciate you being here. I really enjoyed this conversation, and the tips you gave were just spot on and so actionable. So thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much, April. This has been phenomenal. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to the audience.
All right, friends, I have a few things that I want to make sure that I call out. There were a few items that Lauren and I talked about that really map over onto some other resources that we have available inside the Peak Mind Center. So stick with me for just a couple of minutes and we'll be back. We'll go over those and launch you on your way for the rest of your week. So hang out for 1 second. All right, friends, I really hope you enjoyed that conversation with Lauren Ammon. She was just such a great resource for all of us as we think about really the intention that we show up with each day and how we want to, quote, win and what our performance needs to look like in order to get us to that goal. On that note, I want to highlight a few things she said, which really brought up a few resources that we have in the Peak Mind Vault that I think you're going to find really helpful. First of all, something that was resonating in my mind as I was listening to Lauren speak was this sort of saying that you see out on social media. You see it in a lot of memes, specifically on those accounts that are set up like the rise and grind accounts, the ones that like really push you to overperform every day. And here's the saying that you see a lot. It says, the way that you do one thing is the way that you do everything. Meaning, if your however you perform in one domain is how your performance is going to be in every other domain. I just fundamentally disagree with this. I just do. I don't think we can perform at our peak in every aspect of life all the time. I just don't think it's realistic. I don't think it's what human beings can or even maybe should strive to do. And that same conversation came up in a past episode where I spoke with Gail Golden of Gail Golden Consulting. This is one of my favorite podcast interviews that I've ever done. Gail is actually the author of a book called Curating Your Life, which is so in line with life design. It's just wonderful. But in this book, she talks about the importance of, well, curation. So essentially, this is deciding what is going to be the centerpiece of your life and what's going to need to take a second place and what just isn't even going to be in what she calls your life's exhibit at all. So she focuses on life design from the perspective of like a museum curator or an art gallery curator. They have to decide what their exhibit is about. They have to decide what is going to be central to their exhibit. They have to decide what's going to be sort of secondary and off to the side. And then they have to pick the stuff that's just not going to be in the exhibit at all. And this is such a cool way of thinking about some of the things we talked about with Lauren today, because it goes back to that, you know, sentence that I hate, The way you do one thing is the way you do everything. No, it isn't. You cannot do everything at an A plus level. You can't. You don't have the energy for that. Most people have way more on their plate than what they can accomplish in a day. So we have to make decisions about what goes at the center of our exhibit, what is secondary, and what doesn't make the cut at all. Gail's episode is a masterclass at doing that. I've referenced this episode so many times because, again, it's one of my favorite conversations that I've ever had. She is lovely. I just cannot say enough about this. So I've linked her episode below. If you haven't listened to it, or even if it's been a little while, please go back and do that. This is episode 242, once again, with Gail Golden, the author of Curating Your Life. Okay, the second resource that I want to offer you is a blog post. And this blog post is called Creating the Conditions to Thrive. You know, Lauren and I talked a lot about this idea that, hey, we're all human beings, right? We all have these basic needs that we need filled in order for us to do well. We have physical needs, we have social needs, we have emotional needs, et cetera, et cetera. And psychology gives us a lot of information and insight into what are the conditions we need to set up in order to meet our needs so that we can thrive. And Dr. Ashley, my partner in Peak Mind, wrote this beautiful blog post all centered around her aloe plant. And when her aloe plant was not in a situation where it was thriving and what that meant, and then what happened to her aloe plant as she moved it into a situation that was much more conducive to this plant thriving. It's such a great analog for thinking about us as human beings, because there's another meme that's out there on social media that basically human beings are the equivalent of a house plant with a much more broad and nuanced emotional landscape. It's not that far from the truth, you know? We need some of the same things that that houseplant does. So it's a neat way of thinking about, am I getting my basic needs met on a day-to-day basis to the point that I think I can thrive? Am I supporting myself in a way that allows me to show up and perform in my life so that I can, quote-unquote, win in the way that I've defined it today for myself? So check out that blog post. It's linked below. Again, it's called Creating the Conditions to Thrive. And the last resource that I want to highlight is Lauren's. I love the idea of starting your day with setting an intention. I love it. Or even going into a meeting with an intention of, you know, how you're going to show up in that meeting. And I love this resource, this gold, silver, bronze resource that she has. So I've linked her website below. Please go take her up on that. I'm literally going to take her up on that because it's something that I think I can do better in as part of my morning routine. I've talked about my morning routine a lot on the podcast where, you know, I spend some time with a journal. I plan out my day. I do some gratitude. I think about what, you know, I can do for myself to make the day great. But this is an amazing additional practice. It takes 2 seconds to say, okay, in different aspects of my life, am I going to show up as a gold, a silver, or a bronze? I would highly encourage you to go get that resource. You guys, this episode was one that really made me think a lot about how I balance my energy throughout the day and what it means for me to win on different days. And I hope it did the same thing for you too. And I hope it gave you permission to be human. You know, if you're having a hard time, if you're struggling, consider finding that safe, deep, you know, authentic relationship with somebody and consider letting your guard down and letting that person know. Not only that, in addition to, you know, it making it more likely that you're going to get support, that other person might be doing the same thing you're doing. They might have that facade up where the visual doesn't match the audio, as Lauren said. And maybe, just maybe, by you going to that person and saying, you know what, I'm really struggling right now and I'm having a hard time and I need support, you might be modeling what it looks like to ask for support when you need it for the very person who needs it as well. We're all in this together. We all experience challenges and setbacks and strengths and weaknesses because we're human beings with bodies and minds. So consider letting your guard down and asking for what you need. You are worth it. And finally, let's remember that time is the most non-renewable resource on the planet. And I'm so grateful to each and every one of you who chose to spend some of your precious time with me today. I'm Dr. April Seifert, and I will see you next week.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.